David's great sin and his repentance. The Bible has little to say about the praise of men. Little space is given to recounting the virtues of even the best men who have ever lived. When a good man does wrong, the Bible does not try to cover up for his misdeeds, but records them along with his good deeds. But when men repent of their bad deeds and ask God for forgiveness, he freely pardons and shows them mercy and loving kindness. From the stories we have heard thus far about David, we have learned that he loved the Lord and, for the most part, served him faithfully. But our story today is about a very great misdeed of David's, for which God punished him, but also forgave him when he had fully repented and asked for forgiveness.
Well, Joab, are you prepared to cross the Jordan and besiege Rabbah?
I'm ready, Your Majesty. I've been for some time. I await only the command of my king, and I shall go forth with the fighting men and champions of Israel and destroy the Ammonites from off the face of the earth.
Go, Joab. But I shall remain here in Jerusalem this time and judge and govern the people as a king should do.
Shall I keep His Majesty informed of the progress of the war?
Yes, send runners every day, Joab. And more often than that, if important events and progress take place.
With pleasure, Your Majesty.
You may go now, Joab. And may God accompany you and give you speedy victory.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
David was now at the height of his power and glory. His enemies all around him had been destroyed. Only a few Ammonites remained, and before long they too would be defeated. No longer did he sense a need for God's guidance and protection. He could now live a life of ease and contentment. Now it happened late one afternoon, when David arose from his couch and was walking upon the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. Now this woman's name was Bathsheba, and her husband, who was an officer in David's army, was named Uriah.
Ah, there's nothing quite so refreshing and invigorating as a warm bath. If only my husband were here now so we could enjoy a quiet evening together.
My mistress's husband is seldom home anymore.
How right you are. It's the penalty I have to pay for having such an important man for a husband.
He is important, all right, mistress. One of General Joab's noble officers and champions. A mighty man of valor.
He thinks that after this campaign against the Ammonites, that Israel will have a long season of peace. If so, my husband can be home most of the time. We will enjoy many days and evenings together.
But, well, her ladyship must be prepared for the possibility of the master not surviving this campaign.
Not surviving? Oh, my husband is a true champion. There isn't a man in all the enemy camp who is more capable of defending himself than he.
My mistress obviously loves the master.
Love my husband? I adore him.
And David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said,
Is this not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?
So David sent messengers and took her.
A messenger is at the door, mistress.
A messenger from the battlefront. Is it my husband? Has something happened to him?
It's nothing like that, mistress. The messenger is here as a personal representative of His Majesty, King David. He requests the honor of her ladyship's presence immediately.
But I can't go now. I'm busy.
But, mistress, one never refuses a request of the king.
But I... What does he want of me? Perhaps it is my husband, wounded or dead.
I'm sure it's nothing like that, mistress. For the messenger stated that His Majesty suggested that the mistress come directly to the royal palace.
Then he... His Majesty wishes to see me, personally.
That would be my guess, mistress.
Well, all right. Tell the messenger I'll be with him as soon as I can dress.
Very well, mistress.
Because David was now king, and because it was the custom of Eastern kings in those days to take such liberties, David reasoned with himself that, as king, he had the right to take Bathsheba to live with him as a wife. Then, later, as he thought of Bathsheba's noble and brave husband, Uriah the Hittite, out on the battlefields fighting against the Ammonites, David sent Bathsheba back to her home. After some weeks had passed...
You say Bathsheba sent you?
Yes, Your Majesty. I am her maid and her confidant.
Uh-huh. Well, what can I do for you?
Lady Bathsheba... Well, Your Majesty, Lady Bathsheba is with child.
With child? You're certain of this?
She's very certain, Your Majesty.
Oh, this is trouble.
Indeed it is, Your Majesty. And that's just why her ladyship sent this word to you.
She did right. I should know. And thank you. You may return and assure Bathsheba that I, personally, will see to the matter. Somehow.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Long live the king.
Long live the king. Not if Uriah ever discovers what I've done. If Uriah should find out, he might avenge himself by taking the lives of both myself and Bathsheba. Or even incite the nation to revolt against me. I must find a way somehow to cover up. But how?
Yes, Your Majesty?
Scribe, are you acquainted with Uriah the Hittite?
Oh, I know him when I see him. I also know that he is a mighty warrior, one of the most noble and trusted officers in General Joab's forces, Your Majesty.
Well, I want to know all about him, how long he's been in battle, where he is now, his age, his home life, everything. Drop all other matters and work on this.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Thank you, Scribe. You've done an excellent job.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Is there anything else, sire?
Well, yes. Yes, I believe there is, Scribe. From this report, wouldn't you say that Uriah the Hittite deserves a rest from the rigors of war?
I imagine all the men would appreciate a respite, however brief, sire.
No doubt of that. But Uriah, he seems to have been especially active, even when we were merely preparing for war. He hasn't been home for many days. Now, I want you to send a note to General Joab at the siege of Rabbah. Tell him to send Uriah the Hittite to me.
Immediately, sire.
A note from His Majesty? That's rather unusual.
A note.
Let's see what's right here. Uriah returned to Jerusalem immediately. Corporal, find Uriah the Hittite and bring him here.
I'm to return to Jerusalem, General?
That's what this note says.
But why would the king want to see me?
It's as much a mystery to me as it is for you. Perhaps he wants to pin the Medal of Honor on you, something like that. Anyway, those are the king's orders. You will go to Jerusalem immediately and report directly to the king, in person.
Yes, sir. Long live the king.
You are Uriah the Hittite?
I am, Your Majesty.
You just came from the war at Rabbah.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, how is my nephew, General Joab?
Fine, sire. He's a capable and wise general.
And how are my men doing, the soldiers and horsemen and charioteers?
Couldn't be better, sire. They are confident that God will give us victory very soon now.
Good.
That the children of Ammon will forever be removed as a threat to Israel.
And the war itself, how is it progressing?
As planned, sire. General Joab is successfully laying siege to the city. It cannot be very long now until they will have to give up. Surrender.
Well, you bring a very good report, Uriah, and I'm very pleased. Now, why don't you go home and... Well, you have a home.
Yes, indeed, sire.
And a wife, I suppose?
The most beautiful and faithful wife on earth, Your Majesty.
Then I'd be nothing less than an outright cad if I didn't order you to take a short rest from the war and let you go home for a short spell to be with your wife. So, Uriah, go to your home. Rest, remain there until I call you to return to the battlefront. You may withdraw.
His Majesty is very kind and understanding. Long live the king. Long live the king.
Well, that'll effectively take care of the situation. Scribe.
Yes, sire?
See that an abundance of food is sent at once to Uriah's home from my own stock. He's been a faithful and courageous servant of Israel and deserves just reward.
I agree with His Majesty. Long live the king.
Ah,
Well, scribe, did you send the food as I ordered to the home of Uriah the Hittite?
Yes, your majesty, but Uriah himself enjoyed none of it.
But he didn't. And why not?
He didn't go home last night.
He didn't go home? But I ordered him to.
Yes, I know, your majesty, but he didn't go. Instead, he stayed in the barracks.
Oh. Well, send for him. I would speak with him.
Long live the king.
Good morning, Uriah.
Good morning, your majesty.
Tell me, why didn't you go home as I directed?
I honor and respect my sovereign in all things, except this one little thing. The ark, denoting the very presence of God himself, has dwelt in tents ever since it was made at Mount Sinai. The Israelite people and Judah abide in tents. And my lord, General Joab, and my fellow soldiers, do they not even now dwell in the open field before the city of Rabbah? How then can I go to my own house and enjoy a fine bed, eating and drinking, and the pleasure of being with my wife, while my companions endure the hardships and rigors of war? As you live, and as my soul lives, O king, I cannot do this thing.
You are a very conscientious and just man, Uriah. Stay here today, and tomorrow I will let you depart.
You have a lovely home to go to and a charming wife, you say. Why do you stay here, then, in this dingy place?
As long as my companions endure hardships and privation, so shall I.
A silly attitude, I think. I know if I had a wife and a home to go to, nothing could stop me. How soon are you going back to the battle at Rabbah?
The king said as soon as... Ah, here comes the scribe now. It's about time, too. It's been 2 days. Greetings, scribe.
Oh, greetings, Uriah, sir. The king requests your presence. Follow me.
But, scribe, this is the royal banquet hall.
Yes, I know. The king requests your presence at his table.
But why me? I'm just
come along. The king's desires are not to be denied.
All right.
Uriah the Hittite, your majesty.
Good evening, Uriah. Sit down. Come on, sit down. Enjoy yourself.
But, your majesty,
you fought valiantly for me on the battlefield. The very least I can do is to offer you food and drink. Now sit down.
All right, your majesty.
That's it. Butler! Butler, fill his cup with wine. You know, Uriah, you're quite an important man in my kingdom. You're known as one of the very best soldiers that I've...
And Uriah ate and drank in the presence of the king so that he became drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of David, but he did not go down to his house. Every effort on the part of David to conceal his sin had failed. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab.
You sent for me, your majesty?
Yes, Uriah. I'm going to give you permission to return to the battlefield.
Oh, thank you, your majesty. I shall return at once.
And since you will be reporting directly to General Joab, I should like you to deliver this personal letter to him from me.
Indeed, sir. I shall be happy to deliver the letter. Long live the king! Long live the king!
Well, glad to see you've returned, Uriah.
I'm glad to be back, sir.
How are things in Jerusalem?
Very well, sir. The king himself gave me a banquet. He seems to think very highly of me. I surely do of him. Oh, I nearly forgot. Here's a message, sealed and given to me by the king himself. Oh. It's for you.
Well, thank you, Uriah. Now, if you'll wait outside the tent, I'll assign you to your post of duty shortly.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I wonder what this is all about. Greetings, Joab. As your king, I order you to set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting and then withdraw your men back from him that he may be struck down and die. That he may be struck down and die.
Joab, whose allegiance had been given to the king rather than God, transgressed God's law because the king commanded it. As Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the servants of David among the people fell. Uriah the Hittite was slain also.
And messenger.
Yes, General Joab.
When you have finished telling all the news about the fighting to the king, then if the king's anger rises, and if he says to you, why did you go so near the city to fight? Did you not know they would shoot from the wall? Then you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.
Ladyship weeps.
Uriah has been killed.
Uriah, your husband killed?
Yes.
Murdered?
Oh, no. He was killed in battle.
How did her ladyship learn of the event?
His Majesty David sent over a special messenger.
David? Are you sure he was killed in battle, mistress?
What are you insinuating?
Nothing except, well, his death does solve your problem.
Are you thinking that David has something to do with my husband's death?
It surely came at a most convenient time, mistress. And it put an end to scandal in high places.
Well, David has nothing whatever to do with the death of Uriah. He wouldn't do such a thing. My husband died the death of a hero, fighting for his God, his country, and me.
And when the days of Bathsheba's mourning were over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife, and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord.
General Joab! General Joab!
Yes, messenger.
Have you heard the news?
What news? Has the city of Rabbah fallen?
Oh, no, sir. It's much more exciting than that. It's news from Jerusalem. We have a new prince.
A new prince?
King David and Queen Bathsheba have a newborn son.
King David? Bathsheba? A new son?
Yes, General Joab, a new son. I was sure you would want the news officially.
Thank you, messenger. So the mystery is finally solved. The king wanted Uriah killed so he could have his wife Bathsheba without the people suspecting the truth behind the birth of this new prince. Someone will find it out. The news will spread like wildfire. The high esteem and respect the people of Israel and other nations had for David will be impaired. His influence will be lessened. Oh, it's a sad day for Israel. For David. David, a sinner. A common sinner like the rest of us.
God in his mercy did not leave David to be lured to utter ruin by the deceitful rewards of sin. For the sake of Israel, there was a necessity for God to interpose.
Scribe, the next case, please.
Your Majesty, His Grace Nathan, the prophet of the living God, wishes an audience.
Audience granted.
You may come forward, Your Grace.
Long live the king.
Greetings, Your Grace. Don't tell me that you have a case to be settled.
No, Your Majesty. But I wish to tell the story of one case and request you to give your judgment.
Proceed, Your Grace.
There were two men in one city, Your Majesty. One of the men was rich, in need of nothing. The other man was poor, desperately poor. He had no worldly goods at all, save one small ewe lamb, and it was a family pet, having been brought up and nourished along with the man's children. One day, the rich man had a visitor from a faraway land, and, as is the custom, the host prepared a meal for the traveler. But the rich man was miserly and greedy and despaired of taking one of his own sheep for meat. So he took the poor man's lamb, dressed it, and gave it to the wayfarer to eat.
The rich man did this dastardly thing? As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the poor man's lamb with four sheep because he did this thing and because he had no pity.
O king, you are the man.
Me?
Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives. And I gave you the houses of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised my commandments to do evil in my sight? You have smitten Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife. Now, therefore, O king, the sword of trouble and sorrow and death shall never depart from your house. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel.
The boldness and suddenness of Nathan's words were like an arrow that went straight to the heart of David. He now saw himself as God saw him, not as a great king, but as a great sinner. With trembling lips, he exclaimed,
I have sinned against the Lord.
The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Albeit, O king, you judge the rich man as worthy of death, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born to you shall surely die.
My child, my son, shall die?
So has the Lord spoken. Long live the king.
Nathan departed. I came directly here to seek forgiveness and to see if our firstborn son is...
Is it all that bad, David?
Bathsheba, my dear, it's so terrible that I tremble at the very thought of telling you. It comes as a result of my sin.
Our sin, dear.
But as head of the house, as priest of my home, I'm held accountable.
You did confess your sin, David. You are sorry for the mistake you have made. Certainly God forgives you, both of us.
He does forgive, Bathsheba. Yet we will pass through a bitter experience as a direct result of our sin, which will bring us to a full measure of repentance and conversion.
What is it, David?
What I have to tell you has to do with our firstborn son. Bathsheba, we're going to lose him. He's to be taken from us.
Kidnapped?
No. No, he shall die.
No, not our baby. I won't let anyone harm him. I'll hold him in my arms every minute of every day and night so no one can kill him.
He's not to be killed, Bathsheba. He will just die.
Oh, no, David.
When his child was stricken, David, with fasting and deep humiliation, pleaded for its life. He put off his royal robes, laid aside his crown, and night after night he lay upon the earth in heartbroken grief, interceding for the innocent one suffering for his guilt.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before
me. We, the elders of your house, have come to beg you to get up from off the earth. Put on your royal robes and eat bread and meat, and do...
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man upon whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity.
For 2 days now, your majesty, you've gone without food or drink. We beg of you, arise and eat.
Hide thy face from my sins, O God, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Your majesty, please listen to us. For 6 days now you've laid on the ground, you've gone without food. Your child still lives. Surely your majesty realizes that 6 days of
fasting... Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Forgive, O Lord, and I shall teach transgressors thy way.
You tell his majesty.
I'm afraid to.
Well, I suppose I'll have to then. But there's no predicting what he will do. When the child was yet alive, we spake to him and he wouldn't listen. What will he do now when he learns that the child is dead?
I'm glad you're telling him, not me. I think
I'll... You stay here. I'll need your help if he gets angry.
Elders, you whisper among yourselves. Why? Is my child dead?
He is dead, your majesty.
It is the will of God.
Send for my personal servants, that I may arise from off the earth, and be washed, and anointed, and put on my royal robes. Then shall I go into the house of the Lord and worship.
Though the death of the child was God's solemn answer to the king's earnest prayer, David was humbly submissive to the divine will. And David's repentance was sincere and deep. He prayed not only for pardon, but for purity of heart. Through all ages, this story of David's great sin has proved to be a source of encouragement to those who have struggled under a burden of guilt. Thousands of the children of God, betrayed into sin and ready to give up in despair, have remembered how David's sincere repentance and confession were accepted by God. And they, too, have taken courage to repent and try again to walk in the way of God's commandments.